All right, today I want to talk about a subject that's very basic to every human being's life because it's a subject that affects every person on the earth, whether they are believer or non-believer. You know, the scriptures tell us that throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New, about how people are affected by fear. There are scriptures that refer to terror being on every side. You think about the Old Testament wars and things that King David went through and the Israelites went through. They were oftentimes just intensely attacked with fear of what was about to happen or what might happen in the future to them. So with that said, we, in our generation and in our time, we are also facing that same sort of thing. In fact, if, I mean, God only knows, but it appears even worse in our generation because of the number of things that are happening, from terrorist attacks in all kinds of places on our own home soil here in the United States, as well as if a person travels, there's always that fear of terrorism. I was actually traveling on my way to Africa, and I had like a 12-hour layover in London some years back, and do you know, there was a terrorist attack on the subway. I was on the subway myself, taken into town, and there was the time that they had those backpack bombs that people had left on the thing. Well, it wasn't on my train, but as soon as it happened, they stopped the entire thing. Every single train going in and out of London was stopped. And people, of course, immediately began to panic because they knew something was wrong. People were diving off the trains. Why? Fear. And it was like, and no one would say anything what was going on. But you could see fear instantly grabbing people when they didn't even know what had happened or occurred. And I got myself a taxi and get back to the airport quick because I knew everything would come to a standstill. And I could potentially miss my train. But the whole point is this, that there's fear on every side, and people can easily fall into the trap of fear at the drop of a hat, at the suggestion, just a suggestion of potential danger, of reading the newspaper, of watching the news, of reading what's happening on the internet, all those things. So we live in a day and age when it seems to be that fear is increasing its attack on people. Even with regard to physical illness, I've seen this so much lately. What is that? If you ask the world, if you look in a dictionary and read the definition of fear, one definition that will be given will be that it's an emotion. It's a human emotion. It's a natural human emotion. Do you know that biblically that is not accurate? Fear is not an emotion. Fear, the scripture tells us, is a demonic spirit. We know this from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So the Bible and God himself identifies fear as a spirit. It is an entity. It's not an emotion. Now, fear works on your emotions. Fear puts pressure on your emotions. Fear tries to intimidate and work up your emotions. It tries everything to affect your emotions, but it is not a human emotion, and it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't, and many people feel like it's just my weakness. I'm a fearful person. No, that's not your weakness. That's a demonic spirit trying to harass you. So that is not you, and we have to begin by recognizing that, or I like to say, identifying the enemy right up front. Many people, even believers, feel that they're just weak Christians because they give in to worry and fear and doubt and anxiety in their daily life. But they haven't had the recognition or truly identified that fear is not part of them. It's not you. You have to separate yourself and realize you, as a born-again Christian, have the Spirit of the living God and living inside of you. You have the mind of Christ. You're actually inhabited by the one who created the whole universe. And when fear comes along, it isn't coming out of you. It's not coming out of you. It's trying to oppress you, attack you, harass you, intimidate you, pressure you, and trying to cause you to be paralyzed in your actions in life. So we have to start, when we're talking about fear, I'm starting at the basics, and I know this is Christianity 101, but you know, sometimes when we're just walking in life, we forget some basic things under the pressure that the spirit of fear brings. Under that pressure, we begin to like question ourselves, man, why am I so weak? Why do I give in to worry? Why do I give in to anxiety about money or whatever it is? Remember, it's not you being weak, it's the enemy hating your guts. That's the truth. It's the enemy who hates you, putting great pressure on you. So it will help you to understand what you're dealing with if you go back to the basics and simply identify the enemy. You know, in any war situation, the generals always do their very best to identify who the enemy is. Then they study the enemy's tactics. They don't just go, well, we'll go get them without ever studying the way they operate. Figuring out who's in charge. Figuring out who the enemy is, why they're doing what they're doing, how they do it, and what their strategies are. That's how a general in an army who has to go to war, that's what they do. That's their work before they go to battle. We have to do the same thing. Because if you don't do that, when the battle comes, you won't be ready. When the attack comes, you won't know what to do. You'll blame yourself for being weak. You'll fall into the trap. You'll cave to the pressure of the enemy, the spirit of fear. You'll end up paralyzed, unable to move, unable to decide anything, unable to move forward or make a decision or take action. So we start out by identifying the enemy. Fear is a spirit. It is a spirit. It's an evil spirit. That's what the Word of God tells us. And it puts pressure on your emotions. It is not an emotion that belongs to the human creation that God did. It says right here, He didn't give us a spirit of fear. That's not how God created us. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. Instead, He gave us power. That's what He said He gave us, power. That's awesome. And He gave us love, which is very powerful, if truly understood and walked in. And He gave us soundness of mind. So this is very important to recognize right off the bat. Secondly, since it is a spirit, you have to understand that the only way to deal with the spirit of fear is spiritually. You can't do it emotionally, physically, mentally. It's a spirit. You can't talk yourself out of it. You have to understand it. And then you have to operate in the spirit to deal with it. There's no other way. That's why human beings who do not know God and don't walk in the spirit of God and don't know the spirit, the word of God, who try to deal with fear with their mental capacities or their human wisdom, and I'm saying that in quotation marks, not really wisdom, but with just their human abilities, never get victory over fear because it can't be dealt with that way. It has to be dealt with in the spirit, and we have to know the Word of God to do that. And then the third thing I want to mention on this issue of identifying the enemy, you've got to recognize that the devil himself, Satan, your enemy, the enemy of your soul, will try to get a foothold of fear in your life at every single turn. Every single turn. He doesn't give up. He just is very persistent, but he'll also try to start at the earliest age possible, including when you're in the womb. Think about that. That's why parents, and I'm saying this to every parent here, God's world children, you have got to recognize it is your God-given responsibility and duty to guard your children from having a spirit of fear. You've got to do your very best. You have to ask God for wisdom. You have to make sure they're not exposed to fear-inducing images, whether that's on television, on the radio, news, whatever. It's not like, okay, we'll educate them. No, you have to be wise. You don't have them have fear-inducing images played out or in the atmosphere of your home, because that can introduce a spirit of fear. And if you had that happen when you were a child, You can have deliverance from that. God can deal with that. It doesn't mean, okay, it's over, your life's over, because my parents didn't know this, therefore they had all kinds of craziness, showed us horror movies and whatever, and therefore now I'm tormented by fear. No, the Lord has given us a way to be free from every fear. We're gonna get to that. So don't be hopeless by me making that comment. I'm saying for you who are parents to be very vigilant about this. Very, very vigilant. Many years ago, Pastor Dave and I, before we had our son, only been married not even a year, we were working with troubled children up in Northern California. That's where we met Rob. He wasn't one of the troubled children. He just happened to live down the street from them. But so we were in this home that had these six troubled kids, like severely troubled. It was a group home. They would have been in foster care, only they were so troubled that they couldn't be in regular foster care. So they were in this group home, and they were all boys. And those boys, God in heaven, had all kinds of trauma, horrible trauma. One's dad was a Hell's Angel, mother was a prostitute, witnessed a murder, and he was only seven. So, I mean, this is the type of intense craziness that they had been through, really bad. So to say that they had nightmares and every other thing, fearful, night terrors, is no surprise because of what they had experienced. On top of this, now, we come in, we're believers, the guy who ran the place is not a believer, but he knew who we were and what we were, and he just let us go. So we worked hard at trying to change the atmosphere from fear to hope and faith and love. That was a challenge, but we worked all week, we lived there 24 hours a day, and then on the weekend, someone else took over for the weekend. It was a single guy. That was a problem because this guy had a secret. He was like addicted to watching horror movies. But no one, many other secrets, but that was one of them. And no one knew this. And one day we came into the home on a Monday morning and we went in the family room and I noticed that the windows were blacked out. They had taken black paper and covered all the windows. And I was like, that is bizarre. What is that? We had forgotten to take it down. He did it every weekend. And then he would show the kids horror movies, scare them to the point they couldn't sleep, and every other thing, wetting their beds, everything. I mean, he freaked them out. And that's kind of how he controlled them to do get him to do what he wanted. And it was that blacking out of any light coming in is what got us the clue that what was going on. We asked the kids and finally they confessed, they were just shaking. They said, well, he does that every weekend because he puts on these horror movies and he doesn't want any light and he wants us all freaked out in the dark. And we're like, dear God, intentional strategy of the enemy to impart the spirit of fear, and it was horrific. Well, he ended up leaving that place, and then that man committed suicide not long after that. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you that story because the spirit of fear is an enemy who has only one goal, and that's robbery. That is the number one goal, the spirit of fear. Why do I say it's robbery? Because think about it. The spirit of fear wants to rob every single person of their hope for their life, of having any peace. If you think about it, how can you just have peace and joy in life if you're constantly fearful or worried or anxious? Do you have any peace? Can you rest at night? No, your thoughts are going crazy. What about this? What about this? What if this happens? What if they seize my bank account? What if all these fearful thoughts? What if my spouse dies? What if my child is kidnapped? All spirit of fear suggestions to do what? Rob your peace, take away your ability to rest, take away your ability to trust the Lord, take away your ability to look toward the future with hope. How can you look toward the future with hope if you're constantly tormented with fear of what might happen that's negative? Not what might happen that's great, that God has planned. What might happen that's the horror, that's the worst, that's the worst possible disaster you could paint. Because that spirit of fear will paint that picture for you, won't he? You're laying in bed trying to get some sleep, and suddenly, here's a picture painted. Everything is taken away from you. You lose everything. You lose your house. Your spouse leaves. Your child dies. I mean, just all the wicked, wicked things that the devil will try to paint so that his children, God's children, will be bound in fear. The number one goal of the spirit of fear is to rob. Because the scripture says, John 10:10, Jesus himself gave this word, and he identified Satan's mission in this world and his mission. He said, the thief comes only for this, only this reason, to do what? What does that scripture say? To steal is the number one thing he says, steal. The second one he says is kill. And the third one he says is destroy. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come, Jesus, to give life and give it abundantly. So he juxtaposed the two mission statements of both the devil and of himself as the Messiah, our Savior. So that's why I say to the spirit of fear's number one purpose or goal is to rob, to steal your joy, to steal your peace, to steal your enjoyment of life, enjoyment of your family. How can you enjoy your family if you're constantly worried your family's going to be torn apart? I'll tell you, when Dave and I were young and Andy was a little boy, the devil tried that exact trick. He would come at me every which way, trying to speak that Dave was going to die and I was going to be left to raise Andy by myself and not be able to handle it financially or any other way. And it was torment. It was continuous torment. At the most wonderful, we're having a wonderful time, and then that demonic thought would come. He's going to die any minute, and he's going to die in a car accident. If he got in a car, he's going to die in a car accident, leave you by yourself with the child. Oh, my goodness. It was continuous, continuous, continuous. Why? He's trying to rob. He's trying to steal our joy as a family, our time, enjoyment of one another, our trust that God is our protection. He's going to keep us. There shall no evil come near our dwelling. All the promises of God, he's trying to come against with those thoughts. Well, what did I do? I took the word of God like a sword, and every time he came in, I gave him the jab every which way. That is not the truth. I rebuke you, lying devil. And I would just tell him back until he finally would leave, because he got tired of hearing me tell him the truth, which is the word of God, that God's my protection, my covering, my rear guard, my shield about me, the glory, the lifter of my head, the one who sends his angels to stand and encamp around me to deliver me. I mean, I would just quote scripture until he ran off. It worked. Do you think he came back? Of course. He kept trying. But I got better and better at wielding the sword in those early days. Was it fun? Absolutely not. It was horrible. But I tell you what, I learned I couldn't give it 1 second of airtime in my head. Do you understand what I'm saying? I couldn't give him 1 second. I couldn't let him get the whole sentence out that he was trying to suggest. I had to cut him off before he even described the whole scene, before he painted the whole picture, before he finished the canvas. I had to take the sword out, slash the canvas to pieces, and run after him with the sword until he just put his tail between his legs and ran. It is work. But I tell you, you can't have victory. But this is the thing. You have to realize it's not your weakness if the enemy comes to you with thoughts. It's because of the hatred of Satan for every believer. And you have to realize his goal is to steal from you. to steal from you? Does it mean that there aren't circumstances? Of course there are circumstances in this life. We live in a fallen world. We will always have circumstances to deal with that are negative at times, and we're going to have to deal with them, but we still have to deal with them with the same sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in order to get victory in the middle of times that look very bleak. But we can still win, and we will win if we continue. You've got to recognize the spirit of fear has a singular goal to rob you. God did not come so you could be robbed. Jesus didn't come so you could be robbed. He came so you could have life abundant. And if you're being tormented by fear, if you're being tormented by worry and anxiety about the future, about your children, your family, your finances, your work, you are not having abundant life. Are you? You're not. So we need to be able to take hold of that abundant life. One of the scriptures that I believe really speaks to this issue of how the devil likes to rob people talks about how fear is responsible for oppression. If you think of somebody who's under just a heavy spirit. You ever seen someone like that? They're just under a heavy spirit. You see them and you can just see the dark cloud over their head. Maybe it's you. Maybe you feel like the dark cloud's over your head. Or it's following you around. Well, that's spirit of oppression. It's trying to quench every good thing in your life. It's trying to quench every joy of your heart, every hope of your heart for the future. Spirit of oppression. There's this scripture in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14, and it was meant to be a promise from God, but it gives us a revelation of how the devil operates at the same time. It says this, and it was a promise the Lord was giving through the prophet Isaiah. It says, "For you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear." Now think about this. I'm going to say it again, and then I'm going to give you the opposite of how the devil works. "For you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear." Meaning that's the heart of God for you. That you are far from oppression. Oppression is not a dark cloud following you around or sitting on your head or oppressing you every single day when you wake up. There it is again, that heaviness. That is not the heart of God for you. That's the devil's heart for you. He doesn't have a heart, but that's his intent for you, but that's not God's. He intended for us as his children to be far from oppression because we never fear. We don't fall into fear. But think about, so what does the devil do? He knows the Bible better than most believers, meaning he knows what the scripture says, and he will take it and try to use it for his devices. So what he does is, well, if I can get them to fear, then oppression will be near to them. Think about that. The devil's smart. He knows this. If he could get you to fall into his trap of fear, he can have oppression close by you every day, harassing you every day, pressing your mind every day, following you like a dark cloud every day, if he could get you to fall into his trap of fear. But God intends for you to be far from oppression because you don't fear. So how do we do that? You have to recognize that's what the enemy's trying to do, and we've got to understand how God wants us to stay clear of fear, so to speak. All right. Think about the things that people most commonly fear, and even the things that we have all battled in our lives at different times. Fear of failure is probably one of the biggest, most common fears to mankind. What does the fear of failure do to us? Let me tell you what it does. The fear of failure will make you not take steps you should take because you're afraid if you take that step, you'll fail. Whether that's in school, with work, or any other thing, people will not move forward because they are bound in the spirit of fear of failure. That's a big issue. And that could be a generational curse of fear of failure. There's a lot of families that are just trapped in that. So they never move forward. It immobilizes people. from ever going toward their goal, because they're afraid they'll fail. If they do, then they'll be humiliated. I mean, the devil paints the whole picture of, well, if you do that, then this will happen, then you'll fail, then everybody will laugh at you, then you'll be humiliated publicly, and your parents who said you'd never make it will be right. So if you don't do anything, then you didn't fail. I mean, the devil's such a liar. So this is something that we have to recognize how he operates. Fear of failure is a very big deal. And if you're stuck and you can't move forward, whether it's schoolwork, whatever, even relationships, that could be the root fear that you're dealing with. Fear of rejection, another very common one. People stay out of relationships, won't get married, won't get close to people, because they're afraid that they'll be rejected this way. This is how I'll just not get rejected. I'll stay away. For most people, just say hi, always be friendly, but never get close. Well, that's painful, because we were created for relationship. God created us to have relationship with people, to be loved, to give love, to love God and receive love from God. So fear of rejection is just a paralyzer of relationships. Fear of premature death. I'll tell you something. I know a man who's now, how old is he now? Probably, well, late 60s for sure. He was sure, he's a Christian. He doesn't live here, so I'm talking about someone you would never know. This man was so convinced in his mind from the devil, obviously, no other place, that he was going to die young. He was convinced. He was in the Vietnam War. He was convinced he was going to die young. Well, he didn't die in the Vietnam War. He got back, but he's still sure he's going to die young. He convinced his wife that they should not have children, because he didn't want to orphan the children. You know, the word orphan means fatherless, so he didn't want to make his child fatherless. So he convinced his wife that they should not have children, to the heartbreak of his wife, believe me, heartbreak. He obviously continued to live, work, and this fear of premature death has not come to pass, and he's in his late 60s now. And what did the spirit of fear of premature death do for him? It robbed him completely of a family. It robbed his wife of having children. She has a mother's heart, oh my goodness, broke her heart, almost destroyed their marriage relationship. She just is very faithful, so she stayed with him despite his issues. But the spirit of fear of premature death convinced him of a lie, because that's what the devil does. He lies. Everything he says is a lie. Every fear he speaks to is a lie. The problem with us as humans is we go, no, no, but that's true. That could happen. You just believed a lie. You just believed, because who's talking? Think about it. Jesus called the devil the father of lies. He can't tell the truth, ever, ever, ever. He's the father of lies. So this man believed, the father of lies, he's going to die prematurely, sure of it, convince his wife, no kids. Then he lives, he's not, almost 70, no kids. He's still alive, because he believed a lie, and it robbed his family, his life, of joy, of children, grandchildren, history, because he believed the lie of the devil. He is afraid he's going to die young. Fear of health problems, illness, terminal disease. Oh my Lord, there's a whole lot of that going on. And that's something the devil torments people with. Fear of accidents, fear of tragedy striking you or your family, fear of financial ruin, fear of loss of money, loss of job, loss of financial security. Here's one that is on the rise because of all the demonic stuff that is happening and is being published. Fear of children being harmed, attacked, or kidnapped. Why? Because you don't think this didn't happen in years gone by? It did. It's just now it's reported in a second. If there's a kidnapping, if there's a horrible thing that happens to a child, it's done. it's out there, it's on the internet, it's on your phone, you're getting an Amber Alert on your text message. I mean, continuous. Why? It happened before. There were demonic things happening all these, because it's the same devil, human beings are the same, all of that. It's just now, it's continuously put in front of us. So the spirit of fear has lots of good work, stuff it can work with. I say good stuff meaning material. It can throw into your mind to get you to agree it could happen to your family. You have to understand, you have to get your agreement in order for you to come into fear. You have to have your agreement. If you don't choose to agree, you'll not be tormented by fear. That is the reality. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but it has to get your agreement that it's true. That's the peace. Fear of being humiliated or embarrassed will absolutely freeze people up. I remember years ago I was on an interview panel. I used to work for the government and at the state of California, and I was a supervisor, so I was on an interview panel when we interviewed potential new people and who had just gone through the testing and now they're in the interview phase. And I remember this young man, it broke my heart because he was very smart. He had passed his law, he had gone to law school, he passed his law examination, but the man couldn't interview. He was got so fearful when he had to interview in front of a person, when he had to speak, that he could never get a job. He went to law school, he got his law degree, he could never get a job because he was so afraid of being humiliated, of failing this. He was basically him and a panel of three people, doing the interview. And his fear of failure, of being humiliated, of being embarrassed when he had to speak, was so intense that the poor guy, he was absolutely paralyzed. We would ask him a question, and he would maybe get one or two words out. It was awful. We had such compassion on him because he was paralyzed. And I looked at him, and I thought, dear God, the spirit of fear has, like, choked the life out of this guy. It's completely got him in bondage where he can't even get a word. And obviously, he's very brilliant. He could pass law school. He could pass the law at the bar. But he couldn't, when he had to be interviewed, get past that because the spirit of fear, of being humiliated, of being embarrassed, fear of failure, fear he's going to say something wrong, was so crushing him. It was one of the I remember that so clearly to this day. It's been so many years ago, like 20 years ago, and I never forgot that because it was such an example to me of how paralyzing the spirit of fear is. It's paralyzing. Fear of being humiliated or embarrassed. Fear of relationship commitment. Fear of being hurt. Fear of marriage failure. Fear of remaining single. Fear of being alone. Fear of living a miserable existence. Fear of never fulfilling your purpose in life. I mean, there's so many things that the enemy will work on people. Depending on your personality, he'll work on different things, really. He knows what's important to you. Fear of the past being repeated. Fear of ending up like your parents. I've had people say that. Fear of intimacy. Fear of being exposed. Fear of what the future may bring. Fear of man. Fear of what others may think of you or say about you. And here's the one that's really sad. Fear of fully submitting your life to God because you have a fear of what God may ask you to do. And I have seen people do that as believers. They don't want to fully submit because they're afraid of what God might ask them to do. So they're got one foot in, one foot out. And so they're tormented. You're tormented because you never get the full benefits of relationship with God, protection of God, help of God, wisdom of God, assistance of God, grace of God, because you have this fear, which is, if you think about it, it's really pride, because if you think you're smarter than God, it's pride, and the Bible says God resists the proud, so you don't get the help you need. You don't get the grace you need. You know, we need grace just to operate every day. We need grace to do the right thing. We can't do it. I mean, the truth is, the whole Old Testament speaks to the fact that we can't please God or do the right thing. That's what the whole Old Testament's about. Man can't make it without God. We can't please God. We can't even fulfill His commandments. That's what the Ten Commandments are about. We can't do it. And Jesus came and brought grace to give us power to do things God's way and forgiveness when we make a mistake. It says Moses, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So Amen. That's what we have. But if you are afraid of submitting to God because of what He might ask you to do, but you still believe Jesus died for sin, so you're kind of in, kind of out, you end up in a very sad and hard place. Because you don't get access to the grace you need. You don't get the help you need. You don't get the guidance you need. Because you're not sure you trust God. And this is the issue that people deal with every day. So these are all different types of fears. There's a lot of others, obviously. But these are very common ones that I've mentioned today. But I tell you, I'm talking about what it is and how the spirit of fear manifests itself, because if you don't identify the enemy and you actually have a misconception that fear is just your weakness or something like that, you can't fight it because you're blaming yourself for having that, aren't you? You're blaming yourself for being anxious. You're blaming yourself for worry. No, you need to identify the enemy. The enemy is the spirit of fear. He hates you. He wants to destroy you and rob you. And if you're afraid of anything, afraid of what the future may hold, so you don't do something God wants you to do because you're afraid of what the future may hold, you're being robbed of blessing that God intended. I think of that man never having children because he's afraid. Well, what did he lose? A lot. A lot of joy. A lot of blessing. A lot of amazing things that God does when you have children and you're able to watch them grow and become who God intended them to become. Don't let fear rob you. That's what it's trying to do. Now, all right, I'm going to just tell you one story, and then I'm going to talk about the remedy for the spirit of fear. And then next week, I'm going to talk about some very practical things about the strategies the devil uses to get a grip on your life in fear, and then the strategy the Word of God gives us to combat that. So we'll do that next week. We don't have time to do it all today. Let me tell you a story that I never forgot as well. Some years back, at least 15 years ago, this happened, and it was a story I read in the newspaper here in Orange County, and it happened here in Southern California. And I never forgot what an incredible demonstration of how the spirit of fear will rob. It was nighttime, and there was a train, a freight train that was running, and I believe, if I remember this correctly, I have the news clipping somewhere, it was running through Yorba Linda. It was a freight train in the middle of the night, and there were two engineers on board, an engineer and maybe assistant engineer, I'm not sure exactly. And it was pitch black and all that, and they're running their train as usual, and suddenly they look and they see a light coming toward them, and they realize, wow, there's another train on the track. And one of the engineers got so completely gripped with fear, he was so sure that light was an oncoming train on their track, that they were going to have a head-on collision. He became so fearful, so panicked, started literally freaking out, telling the other guy, we need to just jump because we're going to be killed. This is going to be on track. We don't have time enough to stop. And in a split second, the guy made a decision and he leaped off the train to his death. Two trains passed each other very safely because there was a parallel track. And the train he saw coming was definitely on the track. It was coming toward them, but it was on a parallel track. It wasn't on their track. It was on the track next to him, to them. And that man who jumped, totally convinced by the spirit of fear that what he saw was real, that it was true, that it was accurate, and that he had to do this. So the spirit of fear pushed him to make a decision to do something that killed him. So what was the spirit of fear? Trying to rob him of his life, right? Well, the man was 35 years old. He left a family, wife, children. And what had happened? The spirit of fear spoke, convinced him, painted a picture of what was not true to rob him of his life. Now, somebody, and it wasn't me, but I don't know who it was, but wrote this, and I thought it was a very apt description. This acronym for fear, the word F-E-A-R. And I think it's perfect because it described that situation that I just told you about. The F, fear, for false expectations appearing real. False expectations appearing real. Think about it. When the spirit of fear speaks to you, he's giving you false, because he's a liar, expectations. He's talking about the future. They appear real to you because it sounds logical, it sounds reasonable. If you examine the current circumstance, you could believe it. But you choose whether to believe what the devil says or to believe what God's word says every single day. That train engineer had a false expectation of that train hitting them head on. It appeared real. So that spirit of fear pushed him to make a decision, to do something, and it was to his death. False expectation appearing real. Spirit of fear is trying to rob you of your life, your health, of your joy, of your hope for the future, of every good thing God intends for you to have. He's trying to get you to come into agreement. The spirit of fear got that train engineer to come into agreement with the lie he was telling. Hey, it's going to happen. You're going to have a head-on collision. It's going to be destruction, disaster, horror. Quick, jump. False expectation. Appearing. Feeling. Seeming. Real. That's how the devil operates right there. If you are afraid of anything in the future and you hesitate to do something or you don't do something because of a fear, you're being robbed. You are being robbed. The devil is robbing you right now. Right now. Because God always intends to bless you, help you, bring a blessing into your life. But the day, the minute, the second you agree with fear, yeah, that probably would be like that. It would happen. You got robbed. You got robbed right there. You have to resist the suggestion of the enemy to even entertain in your mind negative future possibilities. Think about that. You have to. You have to. The spirit of fear will try to influence you to meditate on, to imagine, to think about images of potential future disaster, trouble, difficulty, and plant the expectation planted. He's going to plant a seed of expecting things to go bad for you. That is a wicked strategy that he uses to rob you. You have to resist it in the name of Jesus. And the scripture that from James chapter 4, 7, which you are most likely familiar with, but maybe have never thought of it in regard to the spirit of fear, says, submit yourself then to God. Submit yourself, okay? God, however you want to do things, I want to do things. Submit yourself. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, most people split that scripture, and they talk about resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But listen, part one is vital. Submit yourself to God. Philippians chapter 4 tells us, meditate or think on these things, and then it tells you what to think about. Think on whatever's true, whatever's righteous, whatever's godly. All these things, it gives you a list. You could go to that.
That's right.
That's what you have to submit yourself to. You have to submit yourself to God, His ways, His thoughts. He says, this is what you do with your thought life. Then, when demonic thoughts are suggested to you, like your future is going to be a disaster, your husband, your children are going to die, everything's going to go horrible for you, that's when you resist the devil. Because you submitted to God and you said, I'll only think of what is holy, what is true, what's righteous, what's in the Word of God. But think about that. I'm not going to give the enemy a moment of my thought life. Because everything he suggests is a lie. And everything he suggests is to destroy you. Everything. So you can't. You have to submit to God. I'm submitting my thought life to the Lord. I'm going to think about what's true, what's holy. I'm going to think about all things God's already done for me. Not what my horrible thing could possibly happen in the future. Choose who you are going to agree with. Choose. Choose. You have to choose. In fact, you choose every day. We all choose every single day. This is the key to being victorious over the spirit of fear. It's a key. And there's others we'll talk about next week. All right, I'm just going to close with just talking about God does have a remedy for the spirit of fear. It's attack on that. And it's simple. I love this. In the story of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, who came to Jesus because his daughter was sick. You remember that story. It's in Luke chapter 8. He had a real situation. You know, we have real situations. You may be pressed right now financially or mentally or emotionally or financially or something in your family situation. There's real situations we deal with. He had a real situation. His daughter was on her deathbed. She was so sick. She was dying. He came to Jesus to get him to come with him back to his house to lay hands on her. He believed she'd be healed. While they're coming to his house, Jairus is with Jesus. The friends come and say, don't bother the teacher anymore. It's over. She's dead. Finished. Too late. He didn't get her in time. And Jesus looked at Jairus and gave him the most simple word. And it's a word to us. What do you think gripped his heart when he got that word, your daughter's dead? Hurt, fear, everything. Fear, is it really true? She's dead? Hurt, I've lost my only daughter, my only child. Jesus said these words, so simple. He looked at him after he got that word. He said to him, fear not, believe only. Those are what he said. Fear not, believe only. Do only this, believe. Believe what? Believe what? Believe God, believe the Word of God, believe what Jesus says over what the devil is saying right now. That's what it is. Fear not, believe only. Fear not, believe only. It's a choice. It is a choice. And I've had people tell me, no, I can't do it. I can't believe when I'm being pressured by fear. No, you can, you can. You have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. He's given us a will, and we can let our will crumple and cave in to the suggestion of the enemy, or we can hold on to fear not, believe only, and choose to do what God said, which is believe his word over what the devil is saying. It does require work. I will not in any way say it's easy. It's not easy. You have to fight for this. But you know what? I'd rather live free from fear all my life, having fought for that ground, than just give in to the spirit of fear and be robbed. Every day, fear not, believe only. What the Word of God says as opposed to what the devil says. But it takes work, and it will take work in advance of an attack, meaning that you have to know what to believe. The Word of God's clear. There's scripture. We all know the most basic ones. Psalm 91 and Psalm 27 to me are the best two scriptures. If you're going to memorize anything, memorize those two psalms to prepare, to protect yourself, to believe what God says, that there shall no evil come near your house, that God will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways and lift, bear you up with their hands so you don't dash your foot against a stone. I mean, we could go on and on. That's just part of Psalm 91. And Psalm 27 is awesome. You know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You've got to memorize scripture so you've got something to say when the devil says something to you. He's got lots to say. You got to have lots to say back. I tell you, when I was young and just learning this, I only had like one scripture verse. And that's all I used it continuously. That's all I had. But you know what? One verse is more powerful than every lie the devil has. One verse. One verse. One verse is more powerful than any lie the devil will try to tell you. Take hold of that. It is work. You've got to put it, his word in your mind, in your mouth, in your heart. Memorize it. Teach your children. It's critical. It's really, really critical. Few people take time to do this, so when an attack comes, they're not ready. And then they crumple because they just get bound by fear because it's very, the truth is the spirit of fear is very convincing. That's the truth. That's why the guy jumped off the train. The spirit of fear is very convincing. He will make it seem so real that you can't separate. If you don't have the word of God to answer back when the devil pressures you, you'll jump also. That's the truth. We've got to get a hold of this. This is so so clear. The second piece of this, fear not, believe only, is that the word of God also tells us that perfect love, God's perfect love, casts out all fear. It means that God himself, his love for us, will be the thing that will enable us to have fear cast out of our lives. And sometimes you need help and you need prayer for deliverance from a spirit of fear. This is a separate subject which we'll talk about next week. But listen, if you got a revelation about how much God loves you, it would eliminate all fear of the future for you. It would. It takes pursuing God to get a revelation of how much he loves you. If you did get that, you wouldn't fear the future because you'd be like, you know what? The Lord loves me. He holds my future in his hands. I'm not going to be afraid of what that is. He loves me. He can turn everything around like he did for Joseph. What God, what the enemy, what man meant for evil, he can turn to good. Even right now, if you have enemies, people doing horrible things to you. If you knew how much God loves you, you would be like, you know what? He turned it around for Joseph. He can turn it around for me. He loves me that much. He's not a respecter of persons. So this is a key, getting a revelation about how much God loves you. It'll cast that fear out of your heart. So this is really, really important to pursue. You've got to pursue the word, memorizing the word, having that in your heart, but also asking God continuously, give me a revelation of your love so I'm not afraid of what the future may bring, regardless of what wicked people might be up to. And there are wicked people doing bad things to good people. That's the truth. But you know what? God is bigger than that. So this is a key that's very important. And then lastly, this. If you do know that you're in the grip of fear, you know it, and you have not been able to get rid of it, it's possible that you need like delivering prayer, deliverance prayer, where you can cut off maybe generational curse of fear, whatever it might be, that's keeping that you bound in that, then that's available as well. In Hebrews 2, the apostle wrote this, verse 15, he said, and also that he might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. You're talking about people who are in bondage to fear all their life, that there's deliverance. There's a setting free for that. And that's from the Amplified Translation of Hebrews 2:15. But there's deliverance and total freedom for even people who've been bound by fear all their life. So God is able. He wants us to know there is a remedy for the spirit of fear. He wants us to walk in that freedom from fear, and he will do it. But it's a critical. We understand what the spirit of fear is, how he operates, what his intention is, which is to rob you, and lastly, that God's able to deliver us completely. Let's pray right now together over this. Just close your eyes for a moment. Think. I know the Lord may have brought up to your mind, wow, I am struggling with that issue, this fear of failure, fear of what rejection, or fear of the future. Just ask the Lord to show you, God, is there a spirit of fear that I'm giving into by agreement, by agreeing with it? Because what it says sounds so true, sounds so plausible. This is what I will say. Sounds so plausible that it can happen to me. And yet the Word of God tells you the opposite, that God's your protection. He's shield about you. He's your deliverer. That he can turn whatever man intended for evil to good. That he makes all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. He makes all things. That means every attack. He can turn that around. So Father, we just come to you right now and we just ask you to reveal to our hearts, is there any place where we have allowed agreement with any lie that has come from the spirit of fear? I ask you to show that. And if there is, Father, right now, I just confess agreement. Just do that in your heart. I confess agreeing with the lie spoken to me by the fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of premature death, fear of being my children being hurt, fear of illness, disease, fear of financial failure. I just confess agreeing with those lies as sin. I confess that it's a sin before you. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse my heart. I ask you to put me back on the solid ground of your word. Help me to take hold of your word. Help me to believe what your word says and never put the lie of the enemy above your word. Lord, you said that you would deliver and completely set free all those who through fear have been held in bondage throughout their whole lives. Lord, set me free. Deliver me completely. Lord, you also said that perfect love casts out fear. I ask you to give me a revelation. Just ask the Lord for that. Give me a revelation of your perfect love so that I don't ever fear the future. Because I am so confident in your love. So confident in your love. So confident in your love for me. I would never entertain any thought of what the spirit of fear is saying. I just take authority in the name of Jesus over every spirit of torment, spirit of fear, spirit of harassment that's been tormenting people listening to this message, and I bind you and I command you to be silent and leave them now in Jesus' name. And Father, I just ask for grace for everyone hearing this. Grace to pursue your word of protection, your promises of protection, your promise of provision. I ask you to give us grace, God, to pursue revelation of your love, that we might know in our heart of hearts that your perfect love has cast out all fear of our lives, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.